Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Author Betty Burns is making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about her new book, Moonchild, Growing Up NASA, but what it's been like for her to reflect on her life and that of her family and the role not only, of course, that NASA played in it, but also, of course, you know, the contrast, I think, to what life is like today. It's so interesting to be able to read Betty's book and to see how, especially when it came to family, that they were very close and the things that they were able to share together. We'll talk about her reflections of that time, as well as what she hopes you're able to take away from the book as well. Betty, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live.
Well, thank you, Cyrus. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. I was sharing with you before we went live here that I really enjoyed the book, and I think for several reasons. One, of course, there is the role of NASA in it, and of course, the moves that your family had to make and the sacrifices that all of you had to make because of the work of your father, but also the family and how you were able to kind of take us into the family and, you know, and what made you who you are, you know, and the things that you were able to see. What was it like for you, Betty, as you were writing the book? What was it like for you to not only reflect on your life, but also to think about the role of your dad's work and how it impacted it?
Well, first of all, it was just such a normal thing for me. It was just part of our life. So as I began to write the book and look back, I began to realize how incredible it all was and what a huge part of history my father played. I just did not ever really look at it in that way until these memories started to flood in and I began to write the book.
Yeah.
And it was really incredible to learn that he was at the Kennedy Space Beach right behind the president. I had no clue about that until many, many years later.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that is the thing. And I think, too, that I was sharing with you before we went live, one of the scenes that you remember that you reflect on in the book is that togetherness that you guys were kind of able to share these experiences even after, you know, after he left NASA. I mean, you know, do you think that's one of the reasons why you are as, you know, as fascinated by the world today, Betty, as you are, because you were able to realize what that meant for him?
Oh, definitely. My dad, he had such a love and zest for life, and it was contagious, and I believe he did pass that on to his children. I mean, he was interested in everything, and he was so intelligent and so brilliant, and yet, you know, as a child, I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
As an adult, I was like, oh, I pale in comparison. He was just a fascinating man, and he just loved life. And you could not be around him without feeling that, and not just as a family member, but anyone.
Right. Right. And, you know, I think the other thing about your story is that it kind of becomes a part of America's history. And that was another thing that I was not expecting, Betty, when I was reading it, that you really were able to share a glimpse into America as it was and as it was evolving. I mean, did you know that going in that was going to be part of your story, or was it just the way that it unfolded for you?
You know, I really did not know what I was going to do. I knew I had to complete my dad's memoirs somehow, and I definitely wasn't qualified to do it at the level of NASA science and history. But when the memory started coming of the rodeo parade in Houston, where we were greeted and he was Grand Marshal, once I committed to, okay, I need to write this down, this is supposed to be written somehow. And then the memory started flooding in, and I began to realize this was not just about NASA, although it's, you can't talk about that Americana history without NASA, without the space program. But it was also just ingrained in me, and growing up in the baby boomer era, that whole Americana feel of the 50s, 60s. And it's such a very cool part of American history that I wanted my grandchildren and my children to feel somehow. And that's when it all began to, I began to realize, yeah, that's the direction it needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, you know, coming in to Houston. I actually want to read a part of that because that was one of the sections, actually, that I had marked. Betty, for those who have the print edition of the book, it's on page 93, and this is what you wrote in dealing with that. Dad fell into the latter category of brilliant men who worked behind the scenes at NASA, and he was privileged to pave the way for the NASA contingency with our early arrival in Houston. You go on to say this about what that meant for him. Being the first to arrive, he was honored at many state and city dinners and parties where he established the foothold for NASA public relations. He was a featured speaker at several events across the state and attended press conferences, TV interviews, and parties as the guest of honor, including a special dinner reception in Austin with then-Governor Prince Daniel. I mean, when you reflected on that and how he was seen and how he was valued, I mean, what type of appreciation did that give you, Betty, as to not only who he was, but who you came from?
Oh, it was incredible. It's like a family history that I really didn't realize was there. I was lucky enough to have a box, well, several boxes, of his notes and the pictures from back then. I stumbled across the picture of him with the governor, signing the contract with the governor and Rice universities to place NASA in Houston. And I thought, my God, I had no idea that my dad was the one there representing NASA. I mean, I was just oblivious. He was just dad, you know?
Yeah.
And so this whole part of history, for me, it really was an opportunity to show my children and grandchildren that anything that you strive for, you know, if you're within God's will and you're working hard at what you love, you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I think that is the great thing, you know, that all of us can be able to remember. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Betty Barnes is our guest today. She's the author of the book, Moonchild, Growing Up NASA, is not only a story of her dad's life, Martin, but also of her own journey, I think, in the world, as well as, of course, of her freedom and a little bit of rebellion, we see, Betty, as well. I feel like I know you quite well after reading this book because, I mean, it started quite early for you. I mean, I didn't become rebellious until later on. For you, it started, as you share in the book, even when you were a Girl Scout. So, you know, where did that, we'll call it an independent streak. Where did that independent streak come from? Do you think that was another one of the things that, you know, that your mom and dad gave you, is that feeling of you didn't always have to color inside the lines. You didn't always have to go according to what everyone else was doing. Where do you think it comes from?
I do think it comes from my parents, and although I rebelled so much against my mother, she was the one who really allowed me my space to be me and march to my own drummer. And she may not have liked the path that I was marching, and she would voice it, but she never discouraged it. And maybe later on in life, she probably regretted that. But, yeah, I have always been one not to color within the lines, just be myself.
Yeah.
The Irish temperament, maybe.
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things I think that people can definitely appreciate because of it shows that you can be your own person. Do you also think because of you had such amazing examples in your family, Betty, that you also realized that anything was possible for you?
It was. I did, you know, I was always very creative as a child, you know, whether it was crafting or sewing or designing or anything, you know. However, I think with my history, the alcoholism came into play and I kind of took a left turn. But that also, that spunk to walk my own walk has given me the ability to survive and become a victor over alcoholism and drug addiction. So I don't talk about that too much in the book. I do hit upon it. There's probably going to be another book down the road. But I know that the strength my parents gave me and the love that they showed to me, they just, especially my dad, just stood by me no matter what. He was just always there for me, really carried me through. And my mother, the same. They were great, strong parents who loved us no matter what. No matter what we got into, what went on, they were there. And as an adult, to look back and really see that, I just appreciate them so much more now.
Yeah, I think that is the thing. And again, too, as I mentioned earlier and alluded to earlier, Betty, you allow us through the book as you're telling your story and your father's story. You really are telling a story of a nation. You know, you discovered something that, you know, you had heard about, this, you know, this new place with hamburgers that we're able to find out about in the book. You know, it was interesting to me reading that, because I thought, wow, today if you say, you know, hey, did you hear about this place, you know, that's selling hamburgers called McDonald's? You know, I mean, of course, everyone knows, you know, what McDonald's is. But, you know, I think that is so interesting, and it shows an innocence of time. Is that one of the things that you miss?
I do. Although today, you know, I watch my kids and my grandchildren especially, and there are so many advantages in the world today, you know, with social media and electronics, technology. They do really have an advantage to learn in a way that we never did. However, I believe that really important element of communication, one-on-one communication, and it was different then. I mean, you sat at the table, you had dinner all together, you shared about your day. I mean, it just was unheard of not to sit down as a family and have a nice rounded meal of, you know,
yeah.
There was no fast food. I mean, it was all very close-knit back then. And today, I mean, everything moves so much faster, even with all the positive that they have. And, I mean, my grandchildren are beautiful. They're smart and incredible kids. So are my kids. But, you know, there's just something missing there, that closeness. And I think for us as grandparents, parents, sharing the stories of our past with our grandchildren and children is really important, to bring that to them, you know, if nothing more than just share about something that happened in your childhood with your grandkids and your kids, just to begin that conversation and that communication.
But I should say, and our listeners will be able to know this when they read the book, Betty, that there were some dark days that you record in the book. Of course, there was the failing health of your parents that is later on in the book. There is the death, you know, of a president, you know, and you talk mm-hmm. about how that affected your father and affected you and affected the country and the world. But there also were personal risks as well. So of course, something that many people probably would not know about you unless they knew your family, Betty, was the threats that your father received. I mean, what was that like for you to reflect on? I mean, thinking about pulling out the suitcases and going to a motel. I mean, talk to us about that. What was it like for you to bring those memories back?
Well, I hadn't thought about any of these memories in so long. So when they began to flood in, it was like, wow. To relive them, it was very frightening as a child especially. But to watch the fear in my father's eyes, in his face, and my mother as well, there was just such an unknowing of this impending doom. You know, who gets threatened to be killed? And in the middle of it, the Cuban Missile Crisis. So it suddenly was not just our little family in a motel room hiding from fear, in fear, but it was the entire nation. And of course, you know, our faith in Kennedy as the president and in God. I mean, we knelt as a family and prayed together that night.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for our own safety, but for the safety of the country. And so it was a really integral lesson for me in life to learn faith and to turn to God and trust. And at the time, of course, and as I'm remembering it, I didn't feel any trust. You know, it's just the walking through it to the other side that you learn, okay, we can get through this. You know, things do change. They do come out the other side.
Yeah. Then, you know, and speaking of a bright side, there is then the event of Apollo 11 and what it was like for you to be able to witness that with your dad. Take us into that and, you know, and the exuberance that was obvious even from reading the account in the book, Betty, that he felt. What was that like for you to reflect on the happiness of that moment and what that moment meant?
It was pretty incredible. I remember being in the room with him. Mom was working that day. I was home alone with Dad. Normally, every space launch, we were glued to the TV, whether we were in Houston or in L.A. However, this time, I was with my dad, and I had always been with my mom and my brother. This time, I'm not sure where my brother was, but I was home alone with my dad. And just to it was almost like being in mission control, you know. I mean, I was watching him, and he was so excited, and he was so, he really tuned me out. It was if I wasn't even there. And he was with those astronauts. He was with them on the moon, and he was so excited, just pumping his fist, and yes, by damn, we did it, you know, and to be there at the completion of such a hard-fought and incredible journey, it was just, you know, and to look back on that and realize, oh, I was with Dad that day. Wow, the things that we take for granted in life that we don't even realize are so incredibly important. And the little things in life, you know, with our parents, that was a big thing, and I really had not ever really given it much thought. And so now I feel really honored to have been there with him and shared that moment.
Right.
It was really incredible to watch, you know, as they stepped foot on the moon and to know that he had been such a huge part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so much, I think, what another thing I thought about when I was reading this, Betty, of course, most of us cannot, you know, say that we had someone who was so involved in, you know, so many amazing events in history, but we can appreciate our own history. Is that part of what you hope happens from this, that people will then reflect on their own lives and dig up those hidden treasures that maybe they had forgotten about or never thought about and be able to really respect those and to honor them as part of who they are?
Yes, exactly. And that was my point. I mean, for me, that was just a memory in my past that I really didn't pay too much attention to. But when you really go back and you allow yourself to look and feel the things that you went through as a child or growing up, whether they were negative or not, each one leads to who you are today. And it is a part of your family's history. And in the book, especially because I was able to bring the flavor, the Americana of, you know, the 60s, the 50s, the 60s, a little bit of the 70s into the book. So many people have said, oh, my gosh, I, you know, my dad wasn't in NASA, but I so relived my childhood with reading your book. And some of the younger ones who, of course, didn't grow up in that era, they were saying they were transported back to that time of such sweet innocence. And so that I'm truly blessed I was able to do.
Yeah, what a great thing to be able to offer to the world. Again, everyone, Betty Burns has been our guest today. She's the author of the book Moonchild, Growing Up NASA. And Betty, you set up a website where people can kind of stay connected with you as well as how they can get the book. Why don't you go ahead and let them know what that website is?
Yes, it's www.moonchildgrowingupnasa.com. I'm sorry, I was going to give my email.
Yeah.
Moonchildgrowingupnasa.com. All one word.
All right. So make sure you guys go over there to moonchildgrowingupnasa.com. You can also, of course, get it from our friends, of course, that are on Amazon.com. You can get it there in print as well. Congratulations to you, Betty, on the book. And thank you so much for the conversation today. I really appreciate it. And, look, it goes without saying. I hope you'll come back.
Thank you, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And we definitely thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you're joining us on the radio side of our program, stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come. If you're joining us online, though, we are going to lose you guys. So if you came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the replay right after we go off the air. You can head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.